This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, Super Tuesday kept much of the country up late, scoring a knockout blow in one party, but extending the contest in the other, and Scotland Yard released the results of their investigation into the death of Benazir Bhutto. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore is off this week. We're pleased to be joined by our friend, NPR news analyst Juan Williams. Good morning, Juan.
Good morning, Scott.
We're going to be a little bit restrained in talking about politics generally and the results of Super Tuesday, because primary and caucuses are being held today in Washington State and Louisiana, the Democratic caucuses in Nebraska, and a Republican primary in Kansas. NPR has a policy we respect, quote, that when elections are actually going on while we're on the air, no politicking, no candidate tape or surrogate tape or voter talk about candidate choices. We should offer nothing of a suasive nature. So, big presidential election, February 17th in Cyprus. How do you see things going, Juan? Super Tuesday this past week, there were 22 states voted in primaries and caucuses. Where are we in terms of the results? I'm going to ring a cowbell if you say something we have to do.
I know. About, okay? You'll step on my toe. One way to do this today, just to avoid any misstep, was to simply say that if you need delegates to win. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans, you need about 1,191. And right now, if you look at John McCain, he has about 700. So he's about 500 short. And of the remaining delegates out there to be won, if he won just 40% or so, he would get the Republican nomination. Mike Huckabee, who's the lone remaining rival to John McCain right now, would have to win about 80-plus percent, Scott, in order to get the nomination. So right now it looks as if John McCain is a pretty sure bet. If you had to bet on something this morning, bet on John McCain to be the Republican nominee. Mm-hmm. On the Democratic side, Senator Clinton has about 832 delegates, Senator Obama about 820. Now, you need more than 2,000, so they're still quite a way and pretty closely bunched at this point. And what you'd have to say is that the contest that you mentioned taking place really don't have that many delegates at stake. And even going forward, you'd have to say, you know, it looks as if you're going to see a slight bump coming up for one or the other, but nothing that will put them sufficiently apart that would say, oh, it'll be determinative of the outcome.
Mm. Before we leave the news this week, let me ask a question that's suggested by both Mitt Romney's candidacy and now his withdrawal. There were some articles yesterday that there are still public opinion polls that show that in this country, in a year, when I think it's safe to say Americans have been sometimes congratulating themselves on voting for a candidate who's a woman, voting for a candidate who's an African-American, almost 50% of the American people in some polls say that they would not vote for a Mormon for president. What's happened? Is that like a semi-respectable form of bigotry?
I think it has been for a long time. I don't think this is anything new or different, and I know that there are people, Mormons, who feel that this is a sort of a form of anti-Semitism, something along those lines, and it's not often discussed, but if you look back over the Romney campaign, gosh, you just see some awful things said. I think it was Christopher Hitchens, the writer, who said that Mormonism is a mad cult. You remember that Mike Huckabee himself said, aren't those the people who believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers? You could go down the line. Of course, you know, this, in some ways you could say, well, maybe this was a good thing for the Mormons to bring out all of this feeling and also to expose the Mormon religion, because here's Mitt Romney, a very successful man. He ran the Olympics in 2002 very successfully. People had a good experience. And don't forget, Scott, that it's also said in those polls that many Americans, I believe it's 45%, are concerned about evangelicals as being over the top. So Mike Huckabee, even as he's pointing fingers, has to be concerned that some people would feel uncomfortable voting for him.
Yeah. I want to turn, if we could, to the news out of Pakistan that the Scotland Yard completed its investigation at the death of Benazir Bhutto, and their medical examiners concluded that, in fact, she did not die from a gunshot, but the result of a bomb blast, of a suicide bomber. Is this likely to satisfy a lot of people who will always be convinced that somehow the Pakistani government had a role in it?
Well, you know what it helps with, Scott, is it helps with governments, and it helps with governments who want to be supportive, especially the U.S. government, of Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf. the idea that Scotland Yard would support his version of events, that she died from hitting her head, would suggest that he wasn't part of any plot, at least initially. And so then that would, again, give more support to him, even as people are saying, you know, he's weak and he's unable to deal with terrorists. He's unable to help the U.S. in terms of the search for Osama bin Laden.
Roger Clemens, the pitcher, making the rounds in Capitol Hill to say, I didn't take any steroids, almost like an ambassadorial nominee. What do you make of that?
He's had a bad week. Scott, there's no way. Yeah, you know, if you were the skipper, you'd go up there and say, son, you've had a bad day. Let's go back to the showers. We'll try it again some other day. One of the lawyers for Brian McNamee, the guy who said he injected him with steroids, said now it's not a matter of legacy. It's not a matter of ERA for Roger Clemens. It's a matter of DNA, because apparently they have the needles and the vials of steroids that were used. And this morning there were reports that apparently the guy also injected Clemens's wife for a photo shoot for Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. All right. See you again, Juan. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Scott.